Welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Van Buskirk. Each Monday, Canadian running staff writer Maddie Kelly and I bring you a weekly recap of the news, results, and drama from the world of running. This is The Rundown. Maddie, how is your world of self-isolation and physical distancing going?
Honestly, things are, I would say things are going pretty well. You know, there are a few things I miss. For example, this morning I was reading an article, and in the article, the author mentioned a Sunday morning ritual of croissants and coffee. And I thought, man, I would love a croissant right now. But, you know, beyond those very, very minor inconveniences, of, you know, not being able to go to your local bakery and pick up a croissant. And that's really such a first world problem. I'm doing okay.
I'm really impressed by your pronunciation of that word, which I am not going to try to replicate. Because
croissant?
Yeah, you seem to have the French stuff really nailed down. I'm impressed.
Little known Maddie fact, I am the proud owner of a bilingual certificate, actually. I did French immersion through school, but then I moved to Toronto and stopped speaking it completely. But actually, my boyfriend's a French teacher, so there we always talk about like forcing each other to speak French at home, but we never actually make good on that promise. So maybe one day.
Yeah, you should keep it up. Use it or lose it.
But yes, my quarantine life is all right so far. How's Toronto quarantine?
You know, it's not so bad. I've realized that there are a lot more people doing kind of like balcony gatherings, which is kind of cute. Like, or not gatherings, but balcony socialization, I should say, as the weather starts to warm a little bit. Today it is pouring rain, so we're not seeing quite as much of that. But there are a lot of people taking to their balconies to chat with their neighbors, doing Skype dates on their balconies. Seems like people are just trying to get outside while still remaining somewhat distanced from each other.
I have a few balcony gathering stories because on our street, there's happy hour when the weather is good, starting, it's like 4 to 5. And everyone goes out on their porch with a drink and they just yell at each other from across the street. And if like you come by and you're running or you're going on a walk with your kid or whatever it is, then you get clapped through like a parade and they cheer for you. And which I think is truly awesome.
That's fantastic. I really like that.
In my neighborhood from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m.
My parents said something similar in Brampton, that they often have a happy hour with all of their neighbors out on their front stoops as well. I had a happy hour Zoom date with my family last evening, and it was lovely. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. I think that I've been hearing more and more that people are spending more time connecting with their loved ones than they even were before quarantine. It's sort of like when you always have the option, people don't exercise it. And then as soon as that option is taken away, it's like, oh, we better connect. So I hope everyone is connecting with the people that they love in their lives and finding ways to kill their boredom, because I know that that's been an issue for lots. You know, someone who found a really creative way to kill their boredom and also to get in their exercise was Gareth Allen.
I know, the marathon.
Yes, he ran a marathon in his backyard. Do you want to tell us about it?
Well, you know, Gareth Allen set up a loop in his backyard, a roped, very tiny course. He looked like he had like, they were old barrels of some sort that he tied rope to like create this very small loop. And he put it on Facebook Live and he ran a marathon in his backyard.
And he had like a water table set up for himself. Yeah. That's so great. So he ended up running 1,254 laps of his backyard, which worked out to actually over a marathon. He ran almost 50 kilometers in 6 hours in his backyard. He had originally planned to cut it short at the marathon, which would have been just over 1,000 laps. But he's set up a GoFundMe page. He was raising money for the Great Oaks School and the Hurricanes Rugby Club in Southampton in the UK. And it was so wildly successful that he kept going. He passed through the marathon mark at 5 hours and 2 minutes and kept on going until he got to 6 hours, which was just under 50 kilometers. And he ended up raising over 2,500 British pounds for his GoFundMe page, which is really impressive.
Super impressive. And such a nice and fun thing to do with lots of people's abundant free time right now.
Absolutely. Well, and it seems like this was his sneaky way of getting in a ton of mileage without doing a double run, which is also currently banned in the UK.
Yes, it is banned in the UK. There have been an influx of calls to the police departments because people are reporting their neighbors who are doing double runs. And actually, it was funny, the quote from the from one of the health officials was that in Britain was, you know, you can go out for your normal run, but I'm not talking about some lengthy run like a 5K. And I was kind of like, ooh, I am glad I'm not in England right now, because 5K is not a lengthy run in these parts.
And that is coming from an 800 meter runner. So
yeah.
Also, that city official is definitely not a runner if they think that 5K is a lengthy, luxurious run. I do get what they're trying to say, though. They're encouraging people to get out and get active and, you know, shake out some of this cabin fever, but just restrict it both in terms of length and distance as much as possible to lower the risk of infecting someone, which, you know, we're seeing this everywhere. I mean, Toronto recently closed all of its parks. They're thinking of closing their trails. Unfortunately, it's just kind of pushing more and more people to places like the Toronto Lakeshore. I mean, I went out for a run the other day and it was impossible to physically distance.
Well, and that's the unfortunate thing is, like, if you are in a densely populated place, you know, like Toronto or Montreal, there are very few options for you in terms of where you can go and, you know, go to a park or go to a trail. So everyone's going to the same place. And like I've heard people tell me that High Park is slammed right now.
Well, it is. And it's closed to car traffic. They've actually closed all of the gates. But of course, that doesn't do anything for walkers, runners, people with their kids trying to get out. Of course, playgrounds are closed. Dog parks are closed. So it's really just pushing more and more of the population into the same area. One person who's doing a great job, though, he asked for a shout out. He is more than deserving of it. It is Rich, quote, stay at hands and wash your home, Gelder, which is his current Twitter handle. Great little Twitter handle. Rich, stay at hands and wash your home. That's hard to read, Gelder. Mm-hmm. Posted a great little video of him running in Dundas, Ontario by himself, doing his part to social distance while still getting his training in. And he asked for a shout out on the Shakeout. He has been very engaged in our social channels in the past. Rich Gelder, way to get it done. Way to do the socially responsible thing and way to keep trucking on. Listeners, if you have a way that you are abiding by social distancing rules while still getting your run in, let us know. Is there a secret to it? Do you get out early? Do you go, are you on the roads? I mean, I think that's the other thing is that a lot of, like, the roads are empty to car traffic. So there's lots of options.
The roads are totally empty. And actually the other thing, the other possibility, if you're a golf course owner, you're not going to like me saying this, but golf courses are empty. And actually that's where I did my tempo yesterday. I was on a golf course.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Yes.
If you happen to live near one, that's a great place to get your run done. And it's really nice because there's obviously no traffic. You know, we saw, by we, I mean me and my training partner, who I live with, saw three other people the entire time.
Nice. All right. Golf courses. That's a good little tip, Maddie. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, actually, I can't take, again, that's a Jeremy Ray tip. Can't take credit for that.
So the other little thing that people might have heard about, just a little kind of blip on the newscast in the last few days, the Olympics have been postponed.
Can I get a woot woot?
So we know how you feel about it.
Well, guys, how the heck were they supposed to run the Olympics? There was just no way. There, for so many reasons, there was no way. There was no way we could qualify because only roughly half of the field had qualified in across the board. So there were still roughly 50% of qualification that still had to happen during a season that had been canceled. And then there was the physical getting people there, which is going to be tricky. And then there was ensuring that, you know, before people left, they were healthy so that virus didn't spread in the village, which is already usually a magnet for some sort of sickness, just because you have so many people living in tight quarters. Yeah, there was just, there were so many barriers to entry that I'm glad that the IOC thought that it didn't make sense, because I didn't think it made sense either.
Well, and let's talk about this timeline a little bit, because to me, that is a really interesting way that all of this unfolded. So last Monday, so just over a week ago, the COC, Team Canada, put out an official statement saying that they were going to be the first country to officially withdraw their athletes from the potential of a summer 2020 Olympic Games. And
Australia followed suit like 8 hours later.
And I believe the Swiss Federation did the same thing.
Did you know Canada and Australia were accused of collusion?
No way. I did not hear that.
Yeah, way. CBC did a story about it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? This is an example of where collusion is a good thing. And then within 24 hours, I believe, there was an official statement of postponement, that they would be postponed. But up until 24 hours ago, Maddie, we didn't know when that postponement date was going to be. And there was a lot of talk about it potentially being a spring 2021 postponement date. And you have some great examples of why that would have been problematic.
Yeah. So if the games had taken place in the spring, I know for some sports this wasn't the case, but if you're a Canadian trying to qualify for a Summer Olympics, and I don't mean summer in the sense of the season, I mean summer in the sense of the sport, like the sports that are within that Olympics.
Right.
It's hard to do in the winter just because of the way our seasons work. So for example, Canadian track athletes would have been looking at probably like a completely empty summer calendar. And then we don't have the fall racing season like the Roadrunners do. So it really would have been a qualification based entirely on World Athletics points from 18 months earlier and a very brief indoor season, probably through January and February. And presumably if it was a spring team, the team would have been named by early March.
Right. And I know that this is only a conflict for the sport of track and field, but we're also holding a World Indoor Championships in mid-March of 2021. So it's not even like that would have left enough time to do a world-level event, get the points and qualification that you needed, and then be named to a spring outdoor Olympic team.
No, I think what would have happened is there would have been just two teams and one would have gone to World Indoor, which would have ended up being like kind of a second string event. And obviously the A team would have gone to the Olympics.
Well, and we don't want to get too speculative on this show about what's going to happen in the months and years to come. But now that we have learned very excitedly that the new Olympic start date is going to be July 23rd of next year, so it's postponed by exactly 1 year, that means that there's going to be a domino effect for the sport of track and field, and probably, quite frankly, for all sports. I think most events, most sports are in a similar situation where they would have had, you know, other major international events on the calendar that are now going to be affected by this. But our outdoor world championships were set to take place in Eugene, Oregon next summer, 2021. And those are likely now going to have to be pushed to 2022, which is when our next Commonwealth Games are. So talking about an A and a B team, you and I have kind of speculated that what is most likely to happen at this point, although we don't have confirmation from World Athletics yet, is that the World Championships that were originally scheduled for next summer will be pushed to 2022. The Commonwealth Games, because it does have more sports than just track and field, will take place that same summer. And countries will have to decide who they send to Worlds, who they send to Commonwealth, and then we'll essentially be back on track for a 2024 Olympics.
Yeah, because that's another thing to note is that the Olympic cycle isn't going to change. This is going to be considered an anomaly, and then they'll continue on with a three-year cycle before resuming the four-year cycle.
Right. And can we just talk for a minute? I don't know if this has become an official hashtag, but I've seen it everywhere over the last couple of days, and I actually love it. So one of the things that I had not considered is that all of the branding and promotion that has been done for 2020 has already been completed. It would be a huge undertaking to change all of the branding for you know, hashtag Tokyo 2020. So the proposed change that I've seen that I think is really awesome is hashtag Tokyo 2020, but the second zero of 2020 is followed by the letters NE. So it actually reads 2021, but you still are able to maintain that initial logo, which I think is awesome.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, no, they're still going to call it the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. That was right. Part of the press release. So there will be a 2020 Olympics and the year will be 2021. And you know what? As long as an Olympics happens, I think that most spectators and athletes don't care at all what they call it. They could completely remove the year and they'd be just happy to be there.
I agree. And speaking of spectators, thank goodness they're going to have an opportunity now to go and cheer on their athletes and support this amazing movement. I mean, that was all thrown into...
All of that was possible. Like, that was all within the realm of possibility, throwing it sans spectator.
Right. But this way, I mean, even if they had... And they had initially said that they weren't going to hold an Olympics without spectators. However, you know, there would have been so little chance that people would have felt comfortable booking tickets, booking hotels, even getting on planes to get to Japan for an Olympics this summer, or even frankly, like next spring. So thank goodness that they've announced a date that they have solidified that is a full year postponement. I know that you and I are thrilled. I think that's true of many athletes to actually have some certainty now, and we can actually start planning our training and racing accordingly. And it's base season again.
Welcome to base season. Base season's kind of fun. You know, you can be a little more loosey-goosey with the diet and with the beverages. And, you know, workouts aren't like, you know, it's a steady grind, but they're not as like draining as like the peak workouts.
Which is excellent given that everyone's at home right now. And, you know, there's only so much working out you can do. And the rest of the time people are learning how to cook and, as you said, just enjoying life a little more.
Cinnamon buns are on the docket for me this week. That is, ooh. I have to. It's been a really difficult time to find yeast, as it turns out.
I've heard this.
Because everyone's baking flour. Oh my gosh, I had to go like 3 grocery stores to find flour. And I would just do, because I didn't want to like go to 3 stores in one day because I felt like I was contaminating. So I would just wait until I had to shop again because we're trying to shop like every 5 days. So I've literally today found flour because it's been 15 days now of looking for it.
So you're going to make cinnamon buns?
Yeah.
Wow. Maddie, when this physical distancing thing is over, I would love to be a taste tester for your new bakery that you're creating.
Well, hopefully at that point, I've really mastered them because I've got the time to, so...
Fantastic. There's so many things to look forward to when this is all over. In the meantime, folks,
if you have a treadmill, use it. Just find areas to run, which I recognize. Like, I have the luxury of even being in Hamilton now, which is significantly less populated than Toronto. But especially when you're in the cities, if you can find a place that is relatively empty, do your run there. Because if this number of people continue to use the trails, paths, and parks, we're going to be cut off entirely.
Great advice. That was actually one of the final messages that Alan Brooks left in our most recent episode, where we interviewed a number of marathon race directors about the impacts of course, COVID-19 on all of their events. And that's exactly what Alan said. He just, you know, his final sort of call to the running community was, everyone needs to do everything they can to take this seriously and nip it in the bud now so that we don't have to resort to more drastic measures, because no one wants that. And I know that, you know, it's tough. The weather is finally starting to warm up across the country. People have been pent up in their houses, in their homes all winter already. And it's finally like this reawakening of the world and everyone wants to get outside. But Maddie, even with parks closed yesterday, I saw people having a picnic in the sports field behind our house. And it's like, just do the right thing. Keep your distance. Run when other people aren't running. Do it in the morning. Do it later at night if you have to. Go to places that are less populated, because it would be awful if we had this one little nugget of pleasure taken away from us.
Yeah. And even like someone like me, who is thankfully, like, I am obviously not a nurse or a healthcare worker. So, you know, my day is significantly less stressful than theirs. But if someone who's working, you know, you're a delivery person, you're working in the grocery store, and like the one thing you look forward to at the end of the day is being able to go for like your short run. And then all these other people who all they had to do was stay home and they kind of took that away from you. Like that would feel like a real injustice. So
great call. Do it for people. Do it for others. Don't just do it for yourself.
Do it for the people who really, really need it.
And on that note, we should just take a moment here to thank all of the essential services and all of the workers who are continuing to provide them for us. Thank you to the healthcare workers, to everyone working in an industry that is supplying us with things like food, toilet paper,
everything. Our Amazon packages.
Our Amazon packages, our Uber Eats. Thank you so much to people who are keeping some semblance of sanity and normalcy in our lives and supplying us with all the things we need. Your work is very valuable and we really appreciate it. So run by yourselves, be like Rich. Wash your home and stay at hands. Be like Rich in Dundas, Ontario. Go for your solo run. Get out there when you can and just be good to yourselves and your communities. Stay safe, stay healthy, keep running, and we'll chat with you again soon.